My first inkling of what it really is to govern came when someone explained to me that in Europe, cars, lorries, and more or less any form of land-based transport can be fitted with a thing that, it's a whatchamacallit kind of device which stops the vehicle going faster than a certain speed. Anyway, this week's episode of Unspoken Words, the series that reflects on a single word and what a single word can inspire, is focusing on the word, govern. The word govern.
What are you, crazy?
And the device which dictates the maximum speed at which a motorized object can travel along a road is called a governor. And before you ask, the reason why such things aren't fitted to airplanes is something I propose we don't go into. My second run-in with the concept of governing was of pub landlords and landladies up and down the country, calling last orders and politely asking everyone to leave, just as time has metaphorically been called on Britain itself over the last century or so, in respect of Britain's own past glories as an 18th century colonial superpower. There are still a few lingering vestiges of those globe-trotting Victorian days of adventure, like the Commonwealth, with its ceremonial unity and appointed governor-generals dotted around the globe, famed for wearing ridiculously plumed hats and gleaming white formal navy dress, while joining in the rituals and celebrations of distant countries throwing off the yoke of colonial power.
One of these days, pow, right in the kisser.
After which, our dear governor-generals would neatly fold away the Union Jack at the end of the Independence Party and dutifully carry the redundant flag home as a souvenir of bygone days. Governing is easy to see in all its pomp and circumstance, easy to criticize in all its interfaces with the rest of society, and hard to control when it gets its teeth into something. Government is like a bull terrier or a pack of paparazzi. Governments appoint their own critics, create conditions to deter rivals, are lobbied into corners by special interest groups, try to modernize while going to war, ending world poverty, solving the housing crisis, privatizing the NHS and the post office, and somehow still finding time to put on the Olympics and bid for both football and rugby World Cups. Not to mention trying to get re-elected at the end of every 4 years or so. It's almost easy to forget about democracy. That can happen. True democracy hasn't been around all that long. Governments, for most of their historical lives, have been the debating chambers of the rich and powerful, the courts of kings and queens, lords and ladies, landowners, colonialists, slave traders, and industrialists. The concept of everyone over a certain age having a vote is a relatively recent phenomenon. Even so, it's hard to imagine the world now without it. A bit like the internet or text messaging. Relatively speaking, of course. The body politic is a personal one, too. politics isn't necessarily inherent. We're not born with politics. It morphs around us. Or, like the ancient custom of Oriental footbinding, it shapes us into its own mold, and sometimes looks a bit funny to outsiders, if not positively whiffy. And sometimes it has to be justified with a slightly weird philosophy about why we've always done things this way in the first place.
Well, I've never heard anything so preposterous in all my life.
Government isn't necessarily about politics, just as we ourselves aren't. Politics, politicians, are the elements among society which grow towards power, the way a plant will turn instinctively towards the sun. Some say that politicians should be treated like mushrooms. They're best off buried deep in excrement and kept in the dark. But all plants like to be talked to and fussed over, just like the rest of us. And politics, whether you consider it a weed or a bed of roses, is full of the corruption of saints. Governments are an inevitable breeding ground for such practices. It's in the nature of power. Power corrupts. Absolute power corrupts absolutely. As to what exactly it is that governs us, astrologists would say the stars and the moon. Theologians would say God or gods. A mechanic would say it's that thingamajig in the gearbox. A pub landlady would say the clock. And by the way, are you finished with that? A doctor would say the heart. A scientist would say the laws of physics. An artist would say beauty. And a politician would say, gosh, you're all so busy. I'll tell you what, why don't I do that governing thing? And what is this governing thing, given that we are all both governable in some way and governors ourselves in others? To govern does not necessarily mean to wield power. The best governments distribute it, allowing it to flow like any other form of energy or conversation between people. Like the sea, affected by the tides, government can be affected too by the sways of public opinion, from left to right and back again, every now and then interrupted by theocracy, government through religion, or autocracy, government through elites. Sometimes there are so many this and that ocracies, we have trouble remembering we're supposed to be in one, a democracy. But even that isn't quite government. It's not what it says on the tin. Laws, mob rule, anarchy, monarchy. We govern ourselves in smaller units too, like families, nuclear families, with an average or mean amount of children, 2.5, say, or 2.3, depending on which report you read. And that's not just about marriage. Even the common law are governed. Taxed, registered from birth to death, shop watched, licensed, ID'd, given the responsibility of this or that authority, only to find they must submit themselves to other, bigger authorities. Authority is everywhere, surrounding itself in a razzle-dazzle of freedom. Citizenship, photo and biometric IDs, taxes, local, regional, national, registry for education, libraries, healthcare, bank accounts, insurance, driver's license, internal and external flights, passports, please, the right to vote, to marriage, to birth, to death, all the usual.
You have to ask yourself one question. Do you feel lucky? Do you, punk?
We get used to strange ideas like you shouldn't smile on your passport photo. You might be hiding something. Government by, for, and of the pen pushers, the Jobsworths, The great sprawling arms, legs, and eyes of the state reaching out to rip your happiness kicking and screaming from your very soul, thrown naked into the street where it can be displayed for all to see, this withering, apathetic, hypocritical joy junkie that you really are, while everyone else is being a model citizen, getting on with propping up the state and making sure it prospers long into the far-flung next millennium, and on and on and... Governments are like people. They don't like change. One whiff and they're sneaking a peek from behind the letterbox, spying on the neighbors just beyond the gate, wondering if that was the postie knocking just then, or maybe that was the sound of a petrol bomb being lit. No, no, that would be anarchy. Everything's a bit trigger-happy at the moment. Electricians are gunned down on the tube. Rendition. Torture. Oh, and the really big issues like expense accounts and where politicians go on holiday. I'm kidding, of course. Governments are made of people. Elected people sometimes. Sometimes imposed people. Sometimes deposed people who have made a comeback. Sometimes people who desperately want to make a change and who find that some people are with them, and some people will do anything in their power, will, or imagination to make sure that the people who vote for change don't get any.
Hello, Graham, I'm here speaking. How can I help you? You want to change your energy supplier. Well, have you had a look at the options? Right. And you'd like to switch from gas to... nuclear. Okay, shouldn't be any problem there. Let's just have a quick look on the internet. Here's one for you. Local, too. British Nuclear Fuels, BNFL for short. Do you want me to give them a try? Alrighty. Well, now here's a cost chart coming up on the screen, showing prices over the next 3 years. Did you want to pay by direct debit? Good, you get a discount with that. Let's see what that does to the figures. Well, your monthly bills will be about the same as you're paying now, but you will also need to pay an initial deposit, which goes towards the development and safety costs over the last 50 years. Well, that would be about 15 trillion. But you don't have to pay all at once, no. That can be staggered over your lifetime. Now, have you thought about insurance? Really? Well, you do need to have some if you're going nuclear. Right. Well, you'll need to sign a statement promising your use of this technology is for peaceful purposes only. Happy with that, Mr. Demijad? Okay, I'll print those details up for you with a contract. Small print. Yes. Yes, there's a bit which covers BNFL beyond the contract period, which would leave you still liable for things like safety and cleanup costs, only over the next few hundred years. Oh no, don't worry, it's not a money issue at this stage. Very difficult to estimate. No, it only requires you to commit the lives of any descendants, see their future generations. That's right, yes, to commit them to living with nuclear byproducts like radioactive pollution and so on, in perpetuity. Yes, yes, that's right. In other words, forever. Okay. No need for your bank details. Already got that. And everything else we need. No charge from us for handling. We make our profit on your future contributions to cleanup costs, etc. Well, thank you for calling, Mr. Adimajad. Good luck and all the best nuclear winter greetings. Bye.
And with that, we've ended up driving safely down the highway of life at a reasonable speed, and we've come to the end of another episode of Unspoken Words. To find out more about Unspoken Words and other related projects, visit The Poetry Point at www.thepoetrypoint.wordpress.com. I hope you can join me again at the same time next week. My name is Mac Dunlop, and thanks for listening. Bye for now.